Hey everybody, it's Jeff. Thanks for joining me for another Wednesday Word. Today I am back to share another scripture that I really like and that means something to me. And today we're going to be in John chapter 3 and we're going to read verses 22 to 30 and then I'll talk about a few things from it. So I'm going to read the whole thing and then we'll go back and break it down a little bit. So John 3, starting at verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing at Anan near Salem, because there was plenty of water and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but was sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it's now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." And the focus really for me has always been that last verse. He must become greater. I must become less. Right behind me, that one is also pinned up here. I talked last week about how I had a different verse, but up behind my desk. And I use that one, John 3:30, as a reminder about always elevating Jesus in what I do. But what I love about this whole passage is that John's like, look, it's not about me when it comes to, you know, going to be baptized or who they're following. He's like, my job, what I was supposed to do was to come before him and prepare this way. Now they should be following Jesus. And I love the analogy of the wedding or the illustration with the wedding. And those are used a lot in the Bible. And this one's perfect. Because in essence, John is kind of like, you know, if Jesus was in the wedding, I would just be kind of like a groomsman. Now, if you can think about it, if you've ever been a bridesmaid or a groomsman at a wedding, I've been a groomsman a number of times. What's your role? You're there to support the people getting married. All right, it's not about you. When I was a groomsman, I've done the whole thing of like hanging out with the groom the day before, just trying to keep the stress down in him and help him with anything I could. You know, we went and set up at the reception hall. I went out and played golf with him. That wasn't terribly difficult. That was fun. But it was to keep his stress down. And then I would, you know, drove him to the rehearsal. And then I had the task of driving the groomsmen and the groom to the wedding the next day, you know, getting there on time, making sure he's ready to go. But then when it all starts, it's not about me. It's not about the other groomsmen. It's about the couple getting married. And that's kind of what John's saying, is there's no competition between me and Jesus. He's like, Jesus is who it's about. It's not about me. And I stumbled across this verse in a new way years ago when I was first getting started as a worship leader. And I've shared before, I led worship for a number of years. It was an awesome time in my ministry. And I loved it, playing with the band, playing the music, all that stuff. But as I was really getting my feet wet in leading worship, I was reading a book on it, and the writer said, hey, whenever you're preparing a set and you're working with your band or doing anything you're doing, remember, he must become greater, I must become less. And the point was, when I was serving, leading worship, and really doing anything we're doing serving-wise, it's about Jesus. It's not about ourselves and our own status, but it's about Jesus. So I think we should focus on this verse, on 3:30. He must become greater, I must become less. Other translations say, he must increase, I must decrease. But I think when a lot of people look at this, we maybe look at the verse in a way that puts the focus in the wrong direction. And what I mean is, clearly, you know, we kind of have us and Jesus. And from the verse, we know we're not supposed to be on the same level. But I think the tendency is to take ourselves, take that decrease or become less part, and just be like, okay, I got to knock myself down a peg. But I think we should look at that differently. Let's rather elevate Jesus, make Jesus greater. Don't focus on beating ourselves up or thinking less of yourself. I don't think that's the way Jesus would want us to do it. I think he would just want the focus to be on glorifying him and worshiping him. You know, so whatever we do, whenever we serve any ministry, anything you're doing, that is elevating Jesus. Don't worry so much about decreasing yourself. Because as a byproduct, if we elevate Jesus all the time and more, the focus will be on him and not on us. Now, how do we do that? I think by making sure we're making Jesus greater, we're elevating Jesus every day of our lives, spending time with him, reading our Bibles, seeing what he has for us, praying, if we elevate Jesus every day in our lives and really focus on that, I think it becomes more natural to make Jesus greater in any way that we're serving, in any ministry that we're in. So I would encourage you, take a look at this passage again, and think about, just in anything you're doing in your life, how can you really elevate Jesus and take the focus off you? Remember, we're not competing with Jesus. We never want to do that, obviously. But how can we make Jesus greater? That's what I think we should really be focusing on. Thanks for hanging out, everybody.